Hello everyone, welcome to a special bonus episode of J-Talk Extra Time. My name's John Steele. I'm not with my regular co-host Stuart Smith this time. I don't think we've fallen out, at least I hope we haven't. Basically because there was a full midweek round of J2 and J3 games this week, Stuart and I chatted and decided it was best that we divide our labour to cover the games as best we can. So I'm taking care of the J2 games from Wednesday night, round 5 in this mini pod, and I think Stuart's doing something similar for J3, which should be with you shortly, maybe even before this mini pod. So yeah, just me this time, but normal service should be resumed next week. Stu and I will be back together to talk about the round 6 games from J2 next Monday or Tuesday. But yeah, without further ado, and apologies that you're stuck with just me for the next 20 minutes or so. From the Wednesday night games in J2, round 5, there's plenty to talk about. I think we should start at the top of the table, where Nagasaki are now 1 point clear. Although they lost their 100% record, that's because they drew 1-1 down in Okinawa against FC Ryukyu. Now, Ryukyu rested their regular goalkeeper, Danny Carvajal, for this one, and brought in Junto Taguchi between the sticks. Nevertheless, Nagasaki were in front at half-time, thanks to a goal from Sei Maekuma, who headed in their captain Hiroki Akino's free kick in the 40th minute. Now, the second half here brought some absolutely biblical rain, which I think might have got other games abandoned, but the pitch down there in Ryukyu, in Okinawa held up pretty well. And at the start of the second half, Kaio Cesar almost doubled Nagasaki's lead. I think the most surprising or most important moment came in the 69th minute. Nagasaki's goalkeeper Toru Takigawa had to go off with a pretty innocuous looking injury. I'm not really sure what happened, but he had to be replaced. And yes, his replacement, Masaya Tomizawa, was beaten less than 60 seconds later by Ren Ikeda with a fine strike. He himself, Ikeda, had just come on as a sub for Ryukyu as well. So it finished 1-1, and considering the conditions, the kind of downpour in the second half especially, I think both sides might be okay with that. So that point for Nagasaki was enough to take them clear at the top, because Omiya Ardija slipped to a surprise 1-0 defeat away at Tochigi, so Omiya end the evening in second place. In this game, Ipe Shinozuka went close for Omiya just before the break, but it was goalless at half-time. The key moment here came around the hour mark when Toshiki Ishikawa brought down Takehiro Akimoto inside the penalty area for a Tochigi spot kick. And Kisho Yano, who'd come on as a half-time substitute, scored from the spot to give Tochigi the lead, his second goal in 2 games. Now, Omiya had 2 great chances to equalise right at the death here. Kanji Okunuki fired over and probably should have hit the target. And Nermin Haskic saw his effort brilliantly saved by the former Omiya goalkeeper Hitoshi Shota, in goal for Tochigi nowadays. It was Tochigi's night. And Omiya went down to their first defeat of the season. That leaves them on 12 points, one behind Nagasaki in second place, as I mentioned. There was also lots of excitement at Pocari Sweat Stadium. Tokushima Vortis are now in third place. This is after a 4-0 win over Yamaguchi in their game. Now, Tokushima scored twice in 3 minutes midway through the first half to take a pretty firm grip of this game. Yuki Kakita swept in a low cross, and Ken Iwao thumped in a header from a corner kick. He doesn't do that very often, so it was good to see. Yamaguchi's captain, Georgi Ikegami, hit the outside of the post in the 75th minute during a rare attack from Yamaguchi. But Tokushima underlined their dominance and put some gloss on the scoreline with 2 more goals in the last 6 minutes. Kakita struck again, and Atsushi Kawata acrobatically volleyed the 4th shortly after he'd come on as a substitute. Tokushima now the top scorers in the league with 14 goals from the first 5 games. That's one more than a renowned goal pest, Niigata. A big win for Tokushima, putting them into third. In fourth place, it's a surprise name, I think, Jeff Chiba. Now, this is because they were able to pick up a 2-0 win on the road at Kanazawa on Wednesday night. Jeff's boss, Yoon Jung-kwan, gave a debut to their rookie striker Solomon Sakuragawa, and he was up front with Hisato Sato for this one. Sakuragawa repaid Yoon's faith midway through the first half. He was able to beat Kanazawa's goalkeeper Yuto Shirai to a high ball, and when the ball broke loose, he fired it into the unguarded net. And Jeff grabbed a crucial second goal about 10 minutes later. This time Hirotaka Tameda crossed into the penalty area. Sato headed that against the post. And another youngster, Tommy Amiki, was on hand to sweep in the rebound. And just before half-time, Jeff's goalkeeper, Shota Arai, made a great reflex save to preserve that 2-0 lead. And Jeff held on pretty comfortably in the second half there. So Jeff in fourth place. A pretty good night after they had a disappointing home defeat against Tochigi at the weekend. Now, as well as the games at the top of the table, there are also some thrillers with plenty of goals on Wednesday night. So we're going to talk now about Machida's home game against Niigata, a real thriller that finished 3-3. Machida got off to a perfect start in this one in just the second minute when a free kick caused a goalmouth scramble, and Jung Chungun reacted quickest to put the ball into the net from about 8 yards out. Niigata were almost level when Daichi Tagami hit the crossbar midway through the half. But Machida were 2-0 up at half-time, and this was thanks to a brilliant strike from young Kaina Yoshio from the edge of the penalty area. Brilliant goal that's worth checking out online. Now, the goals really started to flow after the interval here. Tagami got Niigata back into it with an absolutely brilliant free kick in the 53rd minute, and it was 2-2 when Michael James forced the ball home inside the six-yard box following a corner. Machida still really wanted the win, though, and they went for it. They got back in front with just 6 minutes left. A brilliant training ground corner kick routine saw Taiki Hirato cut the ball back to the edge of the penalty area, and Leo Takai was able to sweep a low drive past Niigata's goalkeeper Kazuki Fujita to make it 3-2. That's Takai's second goal in two games. Now, Niigata saved the best for last, though, and earned a point through Shion Honma's sublime 89th-minute volley in off the underside of the crossbar, and that's definitely worth watching online as well. Really a pulsating 3-3 draw. Gion Stadium, or Nozita, as it's still known by me, leaves Machida unbeaten still this season in 9th place, and Niigata in 6th. Really exciting stuff for a midweek game. There were also plenty of goals up in Tohoku this midweek. Gunma got their first points of the J2 season by beating Yamagata 3-2. Now, Gunma took had full advantage of some dreadful Yamagata defending here in the first half. For the first goal, Yamagata's goalkeeper Akihiro Sato bundled Masaki Miyasaka's very speculative long-range effort into the net. So Gunma were 1-0 up in the 17th minute with that one. That's worth checking out online for different reasons, I think. And just 6 minutes later, it was 2-0 to the visitors. Yamagata lost possession on the edge of their own penalty area. And after some kind of kerfuffle, the ball eventually fell to Toshiya Tanaka, who was able to tap in and double the lead. Yamagata got a goal back through Atsutaka Nakamura's rising drive in the 35th minute. But Gunma didn't rest on the laurels. A superb header from Kohei Shin meant that they were 3-1 up at half-time. Junya Takahashi grabbed another goal for Yamagata in the 3rd minute of second half stoppage time, but Gunma held firm to pick up a famous victory, I think. Hopefully that will get them up and running for J2 this season. There was also a really entertaining game at K's Denki Stadium in Ibaraki. Mito Hollyhock drew 2-2 with Matsumoto Yamaga in the end here. Now, this match really came to life late in the first half with a bizarre goal for Mito, scored, I guess, by their Brazilian striker, the brilliantly named Halef Pitbull. Now, it's difficult to describe this goal, but I'll do my best. Pitbull was in a prone position around the penalty spot after he'd been tackled, and he was kind of entangled with Matsumoto's goalkeeper, Kentaro Kakui. But the ball was loose and a goal-bound shot hit a defender, ricocheted into Kakui's hands, but somehow it ended up hitting or making contact with Pitbull. The ball ran loose. Pitbull having the last touch, and it crossed the goal line before it could be cleared. So I think there's probably an argument that the goalkeeper had the ball in two hands, and maybe a free kick should have been given. But anyway, let me know what you think. It was a weird goal, but it stood. Mito were 1-0up. And Pitbull turned provider just a few minutes later. In first half stoppage time, he crossed for Kota Yamada to head Mito into a 2-0 lead, which they held at the break. I think Matsumoto's coach Keiichiro Nuno was not happy with what he'd seen in the first period, so he made a triple substitution at the break. On came Serginho, Taro Sugimoto, Toyofumi Sakano, you know, all regular starters that had been rested on the bench for this game. And Serginho managed to pull a goal back for Matsumoto on the hour mark with a smart finish just inside the penalty area. And it was 2-2 11 minutes later. To me, it looked like there might have been a foul by another Matsumoto substitute, Isma, in the build-up to this goal. But anyway, Koki Tsukagawa headed Matsumoto level. And there was still some excitement at the end in second-half stoppage time. Mito hit the post through Takaya Inui. And the ball was cleared out for another corner for Mito, but as they were getting ready to take it and sending people forward, the referee blew for full time. So, Mito players were a bit unhappy with that. The time wasn't extended to let them take a potentially match-winning corner. So it finished 2-2 in that game. That's a really exciting one. There were also goals aplenty in the capital at Ajinomoto, where Tokyo Verdy picked up their first win of the J2 season. In fine style, it has to be said. They beat Vanfrey Kofu 4-2 on the night. Now, Shion Inoue was denied by Kofu's goalkeeper Kosuke Okanishi in the 35th minute here. But he had an almost identical chance about 2 minutes later when Hari Ide put him clean through. And this time he made no mistake. Verdy were 1-0 up. Kofu were level just a few minutes later, though, with an emphatic header from Yuta Imazu from a corner. So it was 1-1 at half-time. But in the second half, Verdy scored 3 goals without reply to pretty much take the match away from Kofu. First of all, Junki Koike crossed low into the box for Inoue to put Verdy 2-1 in front. Ide then scored a goal of the round contender with a superb curler from the edge of the penalty area. It's almost identical in terms of position and also the type of strike from the goal that Taiki Hirato scored against Verdy at Ajinomoto a few weeks ago. And Masashi Wakasa made the point safe, scoring a rare goal for him with a half volley inside the penalty area. Kofu did grab a consolation with about 12 minutes left through Riku Yamada, but it was Verdi's night and it finished 4-2. So again, I think like Gunma, hopefully a high-scoring win that can kind of kickstart the season for Verdy. Okay, just to wrap up the rest of the midweek action then in J2, there was an excellent win for Abyss Fukuoka, and richly deserved, I think, based on the highlights that I saw. They triumphed 1-0 at home against Iwata. The decisive moment here came in the 70th minute when a pretty elementary mistake from Yoshiaki Fujita, very experienced defender, quite out of character for him, let in Daya Tono. And he carried the ball to the edge of the Iwata penalty area, then played in Asahi Masayama, who scored with a perfectly weighted chip over the Iwata goalkeeper, Naoki Hata. And Fukuoka were able to hold on and protect that lead and pick up a really, really useful 1-0 win. Another point to mention from this game, I think, is that the Iwata midfielder, attacker, Kotaro Omori, was very fortunate not to be shown a red card. He kicked out at Jun Suzuki in the 75th minute, kind of with a bad reaction to a foul. The referee must have missed it, I think, because if the referee had seen that, I think the red card would have been coming out in pretty short order. So Iwata lost the game 1-0 on the night, but it could have been worse. They could have been dealing with a suspension for Omori as well. So yeah, good win for Fukuoka. There's also in the first half of this game an absolutely brilliant punch of the ball, I should add, by Fukuoka's goalkeeper Cervantes, which I think Stuart would have appreciated. I think he might even make time to mention that on the next pod next week when we're back together. In other games, there was a hard-fought win for Fagiano Okayama away at Ehime. They won that game 1-0, which I think was a pretty good reaction for Okayama to losing at home to Kitakyushu last time out. In the first half, Ehime's goalkeeper Masahiro Okamoto made a really smart save from Lee Yong-jae, but the winner came in the 55th minute. Sataki Uejo picked out Hiroki Yamamoto with a really nice pass inside the penalty area, and then Yamamoto coolly just clipped the ball over Okamoto for a real quality goal. There's quite a few nicely chipped goals in this midweek round in J2 and in J3. So I don't know if there's something special in the water or the energy drinks, but yeah, lots of good chips this round. And yeah, last and probably least, at least in terms of goal mouth action, we'll talk about the game at Mikuni World Stadium. Kita Kyushu and Kyoto ended up drawing this game 0-0. That's three clean sheets in a row for Kita Kyushu, which is pretty good going for a newly promoted side. So I think their tails will be up, their confidence will be up right now. And yeah, Kyoto's kind of very recognisable defender Jordy Boyce tweeted after the game that he thought a draw was a fair result, and I'm not going to argue with someone who actually played in the game. So yeah, not too many clear-cut chances in this one. Defence is pretty much on top. I think Kita Kyushu will obviously be happy to take a point from a game against a pretty illustrious opponent. And Kyoto rested two or three of their regular starters for this game. There were a couple of less familiar players in the starting lineup, so I don't think either manager will be too disappointed with a point from this one. Okay, so that's a kind of brief and hopefully comprehensive enough wrap-up of the midweek games from J2. We'll just look ahead to the weekend games. Round 6 is coming up thick and fast on Saturday. There are two games in J2 this weekend. There's a kind of central Kanto derby between Jeff Chiba and Tokyo Verdy at Fukuda Denshi. But I think perhaps a more intriguing game is the match between Yamaguchi and Ryukyu on Saturday evening. That's third bottom against bottom. You'd imagine both sides will be really wanting 3 points, but desperate not to get beaten in that game. That could be a really, really interesting, really attritional match. And on Sunday, yeah, the rest of the round 6 games take place. Tochigi host Kanazawa. It's an interesting looking game at Chugin Stadium between Kofu and Omiya, the two teams who'll be looking to bounce back from underwhelming midweek away defeats, I think. Matsumoto hosting Gunma. There's also Niigata versus Yamagata on the slate. Iwata hosting Kita Kyushu at Yamaha. Kyoto take on Ehime. And Mito play Machida at K's Denki Stadium. Other big games, I think, on Sunday evening. Okayama v Nagasaki. That's the league leaders. Nagasaki, top of the table and unbeaten after 5 rounds. So it'll be interesting to see if they can keep that record going against Okayama. I also like the look of the kind of the last game on the card, geographically, I suppose. Tokushima hosting Fukuoka. I think both teams have played pretty well in the last couple of games, so Tokushima will obviously fancy their chances of winning, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Fukuoka give them a run for the money in that game. That could be fun. Could be a good game to watch on Sunday evening. But yeah, hopefully that was a pretty whistle-stop wrap-up of the Round 5 midweek games and a look ahead to the Round 6 action. Don't worry, you're not going to miss out on the J3 wrap-up from midweek either, because I think Stuart's taking care of that, as I mentioned. So, I don't think there's anything left for me to say other than, I hope you enjoyed the midweek games and the roundup, and Stuart's roundup from J3 as well. And, hopefully Stu and I will be back together early next week. We can run through the Round 6 results and any talking points, and maybe review anything we've missed in this kind of midweek round. Yeah. Thanks for listening. Hopefully it wasn't too horrendous just hearing my voice for 19 or 20 minutes. And thanks for listening. And we'll talk again soon. All right, bye for now.